wherever you may be tuning in from, welcome. As always, it's great to have you. Today, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 6, diving in, seeing what our Father actually tells us about the last days, seeing what the truth really is so that we can be set free by it. You know, and as we read in Revelation chapter 1, being blessed by reading this out loud and hearing it being read out loud. So please grab your Bibles. And also, if you'd like to see my written notes on this, you can go to ijnministries.net and see that, along with a ton of other studies. And as always, everything out there is free. There's some great daily devotionals if you want to get in the Word and see what every day, be encouraged with the Word. But please go out there, ijnministries.net. Great resource. Hope you enjoy it. Now let's get our Bibles and dive into Revelation chapter 6. So John starts off in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Then I saw the Lamb broke open one of the seven seals, and as if in a voice of thunder, I heard one of the four living creatures call out, 'Come!' And I looked and saw there a white horse whose rider carried a bow, and a crown was given him, and he rode forth conquering and to conquer." Now, remember what we studied yesterday, or the last, you know, blog study, that all of creation, even the dead, are rejoicing over what is taking place during the last days. Even those in Hades are rejoicing. So everybody's rejoicing over what they're seeing here. And remember that all of the events of the end time are originating from heaven at our Father's direction. That's why the scroll is on our Father's lap. So God is the one who controls the events of the Great Tribulation. It's not Satan, it's not the Antichrist or the false prophet, none of these, the world governments, none of those organizations or beings control the end time. Satan never has controlled anything other than what our Father has allowed him to control. Remember that. And he never will. These three are only, you know, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. They're only carrying out what our Father has foreordained for them to carry out. Never forget that. Satan does not have a free will. He is only able to do what our Father allows him to do. And we can see that in Luke 22:31, where Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, "Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him, out to the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain." So Satan had to ask God for permission. He didn't have a free will just to go attack the disciples or anybody. He doesn't have a free will to do as he pleases. You know, I think a lot of people give far too much credit and power to Satan. He just doesn't have it. He may have rebelled, but you know what? Our Father always knew that he was going to rebel, because God knows the beginning and the end. So just because Satan rebelled doesn't mean all of a sudden, well, now he doesn't have to live under the truth, which is our Father created all things, and all things exist by him, for him, and through him. So Satan doesn't have a free will. He's not able to do just whatever he wants, whenever he wants. You know, if he could have done that, the world would have been destroyed a long time ago. Our Father controls everything, and Satan can only do, just like with Job, he can only do what our Father tells him that he can do. So when Jesus opens up this first seal, a rider on a white horse appears. Now white, that represents purity, right? It's pure. This rider is pure. The horse represents power and swiftness. The rider is a righteous conqueror, and he uses a bow. Now think about a bow for a second. When you use a bow, you're doing it from a distance. You're not really right on top of people. You're away from them. Okay? He doesn't use a sword, which is when you're, you know, hand-to-hand battle, when you're right there with him. He uses a bow, so it's happening from far away. He's not physically on the earth. That's why we're shown that this white rider who's pure, who's powerful and is swift, is using a bow, because he's physically not on this earth. If he was physically on the earth, he'd be using a sword. He'd be right there with us. But he's using a bow, showing us that he's not here. But his power is still very successful, and it will affect the whole earth. Even though he is physically not here, the weapon that he's being used, his righteous weapon, and think about this too. God is controlling everything, right? So the weapon that he's using has to be love as well, right? Because God is love, and he never changes. So the weapon that God is allowing this writer to use, the bow, has to be being used in love, like with everything we're going to see in the book of Revelation. So think of Jesus. His physical body isn't here on the earth. It's up in heaven. Jesus is righteous, and his righteous spirit is what flows like a river, you know, of living water through us. He has conquered, and he's going to conquer. He's going to conquer all things, and he will be permitted to come against anything. You know, Jesus has the power to come against anything that comes against us. So the evil of the world that's coming against his creation, Jesus is able to conquer it. And that's what we see during the last days. Remember, Jesus isn't conquering his possession. He isn't conquering his own sheep. He's conquering the things that are trying to come against his sheep. Because Jesus came to save the world. That's what his name means. He came to save the world from their sin. And so when Jesus, his physical body is in heaven, he's a conqueror. He's more, that's why we are more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. He's using a bow. Jesus' weapon is coming against the evil that is coming against us. And he's righteous. Okay. Now let's jump ahead, and we can see in Revelation 19, 11, and 12, it says, "After this I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment and wages war and righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. His eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are mighty kingly crowns. And he has a title inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand." And John 7:38, where it said, "And he who believes in him, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on him, as the scriptures had said, even from his innermost being shall flow springs and rivers of living water." So what we're being told here and shown here is that Jesus is controlling the events of the earth from a distance, but the way that he's doing it is through you and I, right? We are the tools that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So when we read that the first seal is opened and all of heaven is rejoicing and all of earth is rejoicing and all of those in Hades are rejoicing, it's because Jesus is bringing the pass when we can all truly come together and we can all spend eternity together in the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Because the guests, we're going to have guests. Remember, there's going to be guests here. And those guests, both good and bad, are going to get to spend eternity with us. And that's what all of the world, all of creation, all of mankind really wants. And because this first seal is broken open, the plan, the way that it's going to come to pass is beginning. And amen, everyone's rejoicing over it. So in Revelation 6, 3, and 4, John goes on, he says, "And when he broke the second seal, I heard a second living creature call out, 'Come!' And another horse came out flaming red, and its rider was empowered to take peace from the earth, so that men slaughtered one another. And he was given a huge sword." So this rider, he uses a sword. He's right here. So he's physically here on the earth. Now red represents rage and anger, and your father allows him to take peace from the earth. Now remember that. Your father allows him to take the peace from the earth. So that means there has to be boundaries. He can't just do whatever he wants. God has set up parameters of what he can and can't do. And we're going to see that later on. But just remember that just because God has empowered this rider to go and take the peace from the earth, it doesn't mean for a second that he's got limitless authority to do whatever he wants. There's boundaries there, and God is in control of it. So love is in control of it, right? And when you think of God as being love, you have to remember that that gives it an that makes it easier to understand that he's coming against the evil of the world, not the people of the world, right? Because love, you know, a loving parent isn't going to kill his child. He will stop the things that are harming the child, but he's not going to, you know, kill the child. So this rider is Satan. It's clearly Satan. It's important to remember here that Jesus opened this seal, okay? Jesus allowed this to happen, and when he did, all of creation rejoiced over it. So every bit as much as Jesus being allowed to conquer evil, part of the plan is Satan being able to take peace from the earth. And remember what happens when we become weaker, God becomes stronger in us. So when somebody says, well, why would God ever let that happen? It's because the harder things are for us on this earth, the more we trust in our Father and the less we trust in ourselves, right? So like Romans 5 tells us, that's why we rejoice in trials and persecutions and hardships and perplexities, because they bring about steadfastness, and steadfastness brings about endurance, and endurance brings about faith, and faith brings about hope. So it all works together for good. So every bit as much as our Father allowing Jesus to, that seal for Jesus to be released, we can rejoice every bit as much when he breaks it open and we see that Satan is allowed to be released. And we remember, we can believe that way. We can have faith in that way. We can have hope in that because our Father is love, right? So he's not just allowing Satan a free will. There's boundaries there with Satan. In Revelation 12, 3 and 4, it says, then another ominous sign was seen in heaven. Behold, a huge fiery red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 kingly crowns upon his heads. And his tail swept across the sky and dragged down a third of the stars and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stations himself in front of the woman who was about to be delivered so that he might devour her child as soon as she brought it forth. So we can see here that this rider is red. We see in Revelation 12 that the dragon is red. So we can see that this is God allowing Satan. He's cast Satan to the earth, and he's cast him down here to do his will, right? Not to do Satan's will, but God sent him down here so God could have his will fulfilled. And it's God's will that Satan takes the peace from the earth. So he takes the peace away of money. He takes the peace away of prosperity and wealth and worldly things. And he makes people find peace in Christ, which is finding peace in love, finding peace in not hoarding things up for yourself, finding peace in trusting in God and his abilities. If we go on and read in Romans 8:28, it says, we are assured. Now, this is the thing to remember when, you know, why would God let Satan out? Why would God let him do the things he's going to do? Romans 8:28 says, we're assured and we know that God, being a partner in labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. So Jesus never told us that the things of the world is where we're going to find our peace. He actually said the world would only give us tribulation. In John 16:33, it says, you know, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. Jesus didn't say in the world. He said in me. In Jesus is where we're going to find our perfect peace and confidence. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain and undaunted, for I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. So Jesus allows Satan to take the peace from the earth because he wants us to find peace in him. Never forget that Jesus has deprived Satan from being able to spiritually or eternally harm us. Satan may be able to create hardships, but those hardships will only bring the truth to the people, and the truth is what will always set us free. Romans 5:3, let us exalt, triumph in our troubles, and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce unswerving endurance. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, let's read what Paul writes. He says, but he said to me, now Paul is asking for hardships to be removed from him. He's asking for the thorn in his flesh to be removed from him. And he says, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger. For my strength and power are made perfect and fulfilled and completed and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, for all the more glory, gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities. Look at that, even infirmities, even in sicknesses, Paul was rejoicing. That the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, and divine strength. So Satan being released isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing. Go on in Revelation 6, 5, and 6, John writes, and he broke open the third seal, and I heard a third living creature call out, come and look. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And in his hand the rider had a pair of scales, a balance. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, a whole day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the oil and the wine. Now black, it represents hardships. And the rider has a pair of scales in his hands. So what this shows us is that Jesus is allowing things to come and be balanced out. The things of the world will be expensive during the last days. Very expensive. To buy them, you'll have to take the mark of the beast. And there's going to be a huge price of suffering to be paid if you choose the world over Christ. Now, I do not believe that the things will be physically expensive. Because if they were that expensive, people would not be saying peace and safety. And we'd be fully expecting Jesus' imminent return. If the whole world, if you had to work one day just to get a little bit of barley and a little bit of wheat, the world would be looking for Jesus' return because things would be so bad. However, if you're trusting in the world, and to get them, you're going to give up all of your chances of ever being the bride of Christ and getting to serve, you know, in eternity with him forever. That's very expensive, isn't it? So the last days, I think things are going to be very reasonably priced, and people are going to be saying peace and safety. And people aren't going to be looking to Jesus because he comes like a thief in the night. They're going to be trusting in the world so much. But if you trust in the world, the things of the world, you know, are very expensive. And I think what's going to happen during the last days is that the world's going to promise us great things. Governments and businesses and the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to promise us great and wonderful things. But people are going to realize that those things aren't bringing in peace. And they're not going to take that mark because the things just, they don't find happiness in it. And the world's going to be coming against us, the bride, the chosen ones, the saved. And they're going to look at us and they're going to see, well, those people are happy and they're not looking to the world. They're not looking to jobs. They're not looking to savings accounts or IRAs or retirement plans or stock markets. And yet they're happy. And we're going to draw an untold and an uncountable number of people to the world. So when Satan's coming and bringing peace, taking peace, I mean, from the earth, what's going to happen is, you know, it's going to be like, hey, look how great the world will be. But when Satan's involved in something, there can't be any peace. So there won't be peace in your job. There won't be peace in finances. There won't be peace in who's elected or what, you know, what party's in control or what government's in control. So there won't be any peace at all in that. People will find peace in Christ, and they're going to see that peace through you and I, because we're going to be glorious without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. So what the balance we're being shown here is that the bride or the saved or chosen ones, without taking the mark of the beast, we will be giving food and provision to people through the miraculous power of Christ. This is why John heard that the oil and the wine are not going to be harmed, because the oil is the Holy Spirit's power in us, and the wine is the blood of Christ that keeps us. Look at Matthew 24, 45, and 47. It says, Who then is that faithful, thoughtful, and wise servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give to others the food and supplies at the proper time? Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the servant whom, when his master comes, will find him so doing. I solemnly declare to you, He will set him over all of his possessions. So at the proper time, during the last days, the world is going to be looking to us because we will be miraculously being used to give them what they need. And you know what? It's going to be spiritual food. Absolutely. First and foremost, because life is more important than you know, bread and clothes and shelter. But it's also going to be physical food, I believe, because I think that there's going to be a lot of people who look at the Antichrist and his mark and aren't going to want any part of it. And I also think that's going to be the Holy Spirit working through people, whether they know it or not. The Holy Spirit will be working through them and not giving them the desire to take that mark. In John 14, 12, you know, when we're talking about the last days, Jesus says, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, well, during the last days, we're going to have to steadfastly believe in him because we're not going to be able to trust in the world. He says he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he'll do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. So the last days, the church is going to be powerfully and wonderfully used. And God's going to be great in us. The Holy Spirit's going to be great in us. And, you know, as government is falsely promising you things, a false prophet and the Antichrist, and, you know, we can see the things that happen right now. Look at politicians when they're running for office. They promise everybody everything. They can't even begin to give what they're offering. But yet they still offer it. And then people get so frustrated and, my God, they're not doing what they said. Because they can't do what they're saying. They're lying. You know, and they're of Satan. Because, look, and that doesn't matter which side you're for. Because anybody promising you that you'll find peace and safety and your happiness through government are lying to you. They have no ability of delivering such things. And people that place their faith and trust in any government have seriously misguided faith. So, well, let's stop there. We'll see some more seals being broken here in our next study. But I hope this really encourages you because, you know, when a lot of people will read about, you know, the dragon being released, they'll think of only fear. But you got to remember God is love. And God does everything in love. And all things work together for good. So I hope that helped. As always, you know, please, if you want to see the specific scriptures that I'm using here, all drawn out and fully written out, word for word, you know, go to ijnministries.net. And it'll help you out wonderfully, I think, with this study. And Jesus is Lord, and he's great in you. And today is a day that he's made. So rejoice and be glad in it.